Did you know that the University of Central Missouri has been leading innovation for nearly 150 years? With more accreditations and more qualified faculty members, our commitment to academic success is unparalleled. And we make sure every student receives the support they need to graduate on time and with less debt. So whatever opportunity you're looking for, make your impact sooner at UCM, with campuses located in Warrensburg, Lee Summit, and online. Find out more about UCM and the power of opportunity in action at ucmo.edu.
This is Voices of UCM, sponsored by Rise Community Services. Today, we sat down with Junior Engineering Technology major James Serber. We talk about the engineering technology program, James's plans for the future, and his love of Lego. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Voices of UCM. I'm your host, Andrew Zellner, and today I'm sitting down with a junior engineering technology major, James Serber. How are you doing today, James?
I've been doing so fine so far. I've been going to class, learning a lot, chilling, made myself some lunch, some like Alfredo, that tastes pretty good, all that.
How's your week going so far?
So far it's been going fine, feeling better. You know, I was feeling kind of sick for 1 to 2-ish weeks.
So
feeling a lot better. Actually like move around and stuff. Occasional coughs, but that's kind of what's going all around.
Yeah, that's kind of going around right now, like end of winter time frame. It always starts to proliferate a bunch.
That's for sure.
And stuff. And then you have like allergies and stuff as well, so that probably isn't helping.
I don't know of any allergies I have. I've been told that I have them, but I don't know what for. I'm not going to doubt it. I just don't know what.
I feel like that's something you probably should know, but whatever.
I haven't come across anything.
And then it hasn't happened yet, so I guess I don't need to worry about it, I guess. Not anything super common. So that's good, at least. You excited for spring break? Got any plans?
Work.
I
work in McDonald's. If they only need me if the place is busy, because I've worked there when there's like not a lot of customers, which for me is what I want to work
obviously.
On. Obviously. You know, not because like I don't have to work much, but I just have to like, you know, I can spend time like working on other things going around there, like the cleaning rags, like I can change those out for clean ones and tell if ones I've been there for like 3 hours, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But if there's not a lot of customers, then like, you know, having a lot of employees there, not a good idea. So
yeah. All right. Well, let's go ahead and jump straight into school stuff, major stuff. So what initially drew you to like engineering in particular?
Basically my dream job in life is to work at Lego, and of course to do, you know, designing sets, and to do that I need to like go into engineering, learn a lot of the like best tips on like many different forms of like engineering, because like when you're doing something, when you're designing something, a lot of things have been taken into account, the structurability, smoothability, a bunch of stuff like that, the process of making it, product testing, function, I think I've already said that. You got the idea.
Yeah.
So, of course, I'd have to, like, you know, go here. And I don't know if I'll ever get my dream job. Like, I have to move to Denmark. But, you know, it is a dream after all. And if I get, like, a job, like, that's in America. So it's, like, you know, a good amount of, like, designing stuff. I'm always going to be down on that, you know.
Yeah. And being, so it sounds like there's a lot of options in engineering specifically.
Yeah.
I know for specifically, like, engineering technology, it seemed like on the website I was looking at earlier, there's like the 5 concentrations. Are you, which one are you under in that?
I don't know if I've heard about the 5 concentrations. I'm gonna be real.
Okay.
It definitely sounds like some, my mind blanks on a lot of things sometimes, especially for my major, because I know like basically whenever I go over my major with someone, my mind kind of just defaults to certain parts, knowing like I'm going here, learning design and engineering and all that.
Right. Okay.
But if you get into specifics, a little hazy.
Okay. Because you're specifically, it's engineering technology, right? There's not like, okay. I just wanted to make sure that I even had the right major when talking about that.
I always check my Blackboard to be sure on that. Because I've probably mentioned to you and other people before different like engineering majors, like civil engineering or so forth.
So, not entirely sure which one you're a part of then? Okay.
That's on Blackboard. Not Blackboard. What?
My Central?
Yes, My Central. Yeah. Just says engineering technology. It doesn't really go over like the which C.
I mean, like, yeah, that's interesting. I wonder. Anyways, I guess that's not really important to what we're really talking about.
Yeah, I guess I can't answer the question.
Not a big deal. Not a big deal at all. So what kind of does all of engineering technology encompass? Is that like every form of engineering, or is it like the specific kinds? Or
so far,
I guess just that so far because you're not completely through the program.
Yeah, I graduate spring 2026.
Okay.
As long as I pass all my classes.
Right, yeah.
Currently, I'm not doing the best in technical writing, but I got time to get that up. And mm-hmm. a lot of stuff I've submitted also hasn't been graded. So.
Oh, well, then, yeah.
But within engineering technology so far, it has been going over a lot of things. Over, like, writing manuscripts for, like, products. Mm. That's what I'm assuming technical writing is for currently.
I would imagine that's probably... It's probably, like, writing, like you said, like, technical stuff like that, yeah.
I've gone over learning a lot of the machinery that most engineers will use, like lathes and milling machines that can create, like, gears and levers and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, in one of my classes, we've been put into different groups to work on a NASA rover.
That's
for
fun.
Like a competition, not like a true Mars rover. Like we're not that good. But it's to get us used to like working on a team and understanding like subjugating like different parts of the design. Like you do the wheels, you do the suspension, you do the body, you do the seats, you do the track we're gonna test it on, all that.
Well, that's
I've really, also that's... worked on like 3D modeling in some classes because designing parts is pretty important.
Right, yeah. Especially for, like, if you're going into, like, auto engineering or something like that, I imagine it's pretty important in general. Yeah. And then even for just, I mean, like, the specific parts for engineering, there's, like, so many different things that you have to think about there.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely an important thing to consider when talking about that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what are the general, like, engineering classes like? Is there a lot of, like, hands-on work, or is it mostly, like, study work?
I'd say a majority of it so far has been hands-on work.
Okay.
There's a bit of study work, but not, like, as much. Some of my classes are majority hands-on work, like welding currently.
Oh, right.
I have a bunch of welding assignments I need to do, and, like, so far, like, the beginning of the class was very stressful, where I had at least, like, two assignments due, like, Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Mm.
But come March and April, there's just like physically welding stuff on your own time.
Mm-hmm.
And it is mainly like we're told how to do like the certain weld using the welding machines, like the proper weld we're going to be like looking over and we have to create.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, pretty hands-on.
Okay. And then obviously you do have those like the general like, I don't know what the term is, the standard kind of classroom affair where it's like lectures, studying, tests, like, and stuff.
I try to say teaching whatever.
I mean, like...
Classrooms.
Yeah. Classroom is probably, like, the best way to describe it, but I don't think I've ever actually heard, like, a proper way to describe that style of teaching, like, in specific, but...
There's probably a word for it somewhere.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Searchthesaurus.com.
Yeah, it might be on there. It probably is. I would...
It's bound to be. That site has everything.
Or dictionary.com would probably be more apt in that case.
True.
But that's all semantics, so that doesn't really matter which site you use in that particular case. But yeah, like all majors, even like I have like digital media and stuff, which is a lot of hands-on stuff. Like I'm doing hands-on stuff right now, which is, even though it's not technically part of a class.
Technically,
this is like
voice-on stuff.
Oh, that's true. It's not hands-on. It's voice-on. You do have to consider that for specifically radio here. But anyway, back to the point. It's like we all have those like kind of classroom standard lecture test type classes, and then the hands-on ones. Do you know if there's like? Can you think of like a specific like ratio to like hands-on to classroom work?
Ratios.
Like a percentage.
I must say like 65% hands-on and like 35% like in classroom. And of course some of that like in classroom stuff is like general education, like history,
right? Yeah, the math, general stuff.
Oh, well, okay. Math is very important.
Oh, I think math is like, it's kind of above a core class for that specifically.
Yeah. Of the math classes I've taken here, honestly, like, majority of them have been way better than anything I went through in high school and middle school. I hated my math classes in those ones.
But I'm also not a fan of math, but I had a similar experience. I did my one math class here that I had to do. I was like, oh, that wasn't actually as bad as I thought it was going to be, because I mean, like, I don't know what they're doing in high schools with math, but it just does not click.
Yeah.
It does not click there for me. But here at UCM, I took the one class I needed to. I was like, oh, that was pretty understandable, and I got all the stuff.
Pretty
so
clear. Like, there were so many different ways I could actually figure out what I needed to do, and uh-huh. So many, like, different teachers. I had at least, like, three, but, like, one of them I had, like, two classes. So I've taken, like, four total math classes, and I was able to pass them all, and I were able to, like, teach in ways where I was able to understand, like, course didn't get everything right. I don't know
if
but I was able to get, like, pretty much everything that I really needed to, and in a way that I could fully understand and also apply. Mm-hmm. You know, true teaching, being able to do it without being told so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So is there, like, a specific part of engineering that you like more than other parts of engineering? Is there, like, a specific, like, style, like, specifically welding or specifically...
Not welding at the moment.
Not welding? Okay.
I feel like welding could be better, like, for me personally, because I feel like some of the parts, like, I definitely do, like, when I get into the flow, I'm used to it, but I feel like there's a lot of different welds you have to do currently, and so far I've just been doing one because all of the other, like, ones I can go over, like, during lab time, we just, like, just go to the different stations.
Right.
And the ones I don't have much practice on are always filled.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't really, I only have, like, the one that, like, less people go to. And I'm going to be, like, doing all my test ones tomorrow. So once I'm done with that, like, I just have to get lucky and get in there to, you know, get my graded piece to work on one of them for one before I even, like, work on doing the graded pieces, because I only have so many. I'm assuming, like, I can get more, but I don't want to have to pay for more.
Oh, right. Yeah, I imagine that.
Because there was last semester a class I had where, like, I accidentally, like, went too short on a part where I was trying to make an air engine. That was what the whole class was going towards. And one of them I accidentally made, like, too small. Bye-bye, $45.
Yeah, that's one of the unfortunate things about engineering. It sounds like if you mess up, you kind of have to just, like, well, I cut it too short, now I have to kind of throw it in the bin and start over.
Melt it down, make something new.
Something like that, yeah. But in a way, that's also kind of something that's beneficial about engineering, is because it is so tied to, like, that learning process of figuring out how things work and then learning through that. Even if it costs $45, it's still kind of a valuable experience in a way.
I ain't going to make that mistake again.
Yes.
There was arguably one part I made a bigger mistake on that, thankfully, if anything, probably helped me.
Did it?
Yeah. So I had, like, essentially two, like, cylinders that I had to make. One of them was literally just, like, a cylinder, but one part is, like, bigger than the rest. And bigger by, like, 0.004 of an inch. Barely noticeable,
yeah.
The other one was a lot more complicated. It had, like, the same dimensions of 0.374 and 0.378, but, like, a certain portion of it was threaded for, like, a screw. And obviously, that helps, like, keeps parts together.
Right.
And I was able to get the, like, threaded parts done. It was quite easy and more, it was so smooth. Getting the, like, other dimensions was a bit more difficult.
I imagine.
I was just, like, on my own. We were doing this stuff with partners that we would, like, check over and make sure stuff was good. And he was off, like, in another class, and I was, you know, had time. I'm going to finish up the other half.
Take it out while you have some time,
And I had accidentally, I think I got the turning speed wrong, or the speed of, like, the actual cutting part wrong. Because it left the, like, non-threaded half kind of bumpy and burnt, I'd say. Because I definitely saw I saw sparks. I didn't leave it on the... There were no, like, black parts on it, but, like, it definitely was, like, heated.
Mm-hmm.
So I realized after, like, a couple times, I'm like, I'm not gonna do this again.
This doesn't seem to be working quite how I want it to be.
Yeah. So I just stopped. It fit in the, like, into, like, all the parts I had very well. So, like, it didn't really matter. So thankfully that went through. But
that one was able to work out. And that's another thing about, like, Nginx specifically, is that sometimes you just kind of make your way into a solution even though you didn't intend to.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, for that, it's like, oh, I probably shouldn't do that, but then it still works out anyway. So it's kind of interesting.
I know if I'm ever using a lathe, I'm going to have someone next to me.
Yeah. We'll be right back with more Voices of UCM. Brought to you by Rise Community Services.
Every minute, there are 6 children born in the U.S., and one of them will be born with a developmental disability. Rise Community Services believes that an individual's potential doesn't vanish simply because they were born with a unique set of challenges. We believe that each person deserves a life full of hope and empowered by self-choice. If you or a loved one need help, please visit watchusrise.org.
A degree in digital media production with an emphasis in digital cinema will prepare you for all aspects of film production, such as screenwriting, editing, cinematography, and motion graphics. Our faculty members bring real-world experience to the classroom, and students can showcase their work in film festivals, UCM's CTV, and digitalberg.com. For more information on this or other concentrations within the digital media production program, please visit ucmo.edu/DMP.
Welcome back to Voices of UCM, sponsored by Rise Community Services. Today, we sat down with junior engineering technology major James Serber. We continued our discussion by talking about James's plans for his career and his experience living on campus. I asked you this a little bit earlier, but was there like a specific part that you do like more than others for specifically like a different kind of engineering?
So far, I'd say, like, the team aspects that, like, I'm going on in some of the classes, you know, able to be, like, social, bouncing off ideas and all that, that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't done it much, well, I have done it a bit, 3D modeling.
Okay.
On, like, I would do it more, but I have a laptop, and it's a Mac, and I don't think that's...
It's not gonna run on that. Most 3D modeling stuff probably doesn't run very well.
It does run. It runs.
It runs, but does it run well?
Depends. Not for the software I had to do for school, it didn't really run the best.
Yeah.
And I had to do it because, like, normally I would do it, like, in the actual classroom itself for most of the models. Didn't want to do it on my own. But, like, if they, some days I'd get, like, too busy with other stuff, and, like, I need to do it, my living quarters, and, like, I just have to do it. And I'm more likely to also go on my phone and complain to friends on, hey, I kind of hate doing this. I've used 3D modeling software before. On my laptop as well. It was, like, Lego Digital Designer. I've made, like, 2 sets and, like, submitted it to Lego Ideas. Got, like, 12 votes.
Dang. That's unfortunate.
More than I thought.
I mean, like, 12's more than nothing, yeah?
I got, like, 2 comments. Also more than I thought.
I mean, like, you got some kind of attention on that. But, like, what kind of 3D modeling does, like, the school use? Just because I'm curious.
I think it's CAD. I'm trying to remember what it's called. Cause it's been
it wouldn't surprise me if it was CAD, because I'm pretty sure CAD's, like, the...
CAD's, like, the most
CAD's the big one that I hear of all the time when I talk to my other engineer friends. So I would imagine it's probably CAD, but...
I'd assume so as well.
Because I'm pretty sure it's like an industry standard as well.
There's like 2 3D modeling softwares I know about, mainly because in one of my classes, we've been doing like a 3D model for like something we need to make for the rover. Mm-hmm. And one of the machines that... like, we need to get stuff made from use, like, a different 3D modeling software. So we have to, like, save the file from one software, move it to the other software, and use that.
Okay.
So I know there's 2. I just remember, like, CAD being... Oh, was it SolidWorks that was the other one?
I wouldn't know. I haven't heard... I don't think I've heard of SolidWorks. I'm only really... vaguely familiar with CAD.
Let's just go with CAD and move on.
Okay, that's probably
I've done. I've done most of my stuff on CAD. And okay.
So that's like the big one then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know my way around it.
Mm-hmm. Right. All right. What kind of plans do you have like right after college? What do you... you said you wanted to be a Lego designer.
But yeah, that's
more of a long-term goal, but like specifically outside.
When I'm done with my degree, I'm most likely going to work for like Black & Veatch because that's pretty much the place.
What place? I didn't...
Black & Veatch.
Black & Veatch?
Yes.
Okay.
That I'm hopefully going to try and get an internship there over the summer because for my degree, I need to get an internship somewhere. And
right.
Working at McDonald's is not an internship.
And probably not for engineering, I would imagine.
I can't fix the ice cream machines at all.
Mm. Yeah, if you could, you'd be like the company savior.
It at the place I work at, it's only gone down like twice, and I've worked there since 2022. Oh, wow.
That's crazy.
If anything, we run out of like frappe more often.
Hmm. But anyways, you were...
From what I know, like, from like the promises the school has told me, basically, like, I'm going to have like a good job when I like graduate with my degree.
Mm-hmm.
So and during the career fair, I was looking for like internship, right, like places to go for. And of course, I went towards Black & Veatch because I'm also trying to find a place that's like at least close to where like I live outside of school.
Right.
And you always get there.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there were two that I saw, but Black & Veatch is the one that I remember the most because they were the most like welcoming. They boasted the most. It's also, I think it's the second closest, but still like pretty good.
Right.
And I need to like get my like resume ready. Not only is it an assignment for one of classes, but it's something I need to submit for a potential internship.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Digital media has like a similar thing where you have to get like an internship or like a practicum at the school. So either one of those. It does make sense why it's there as a part of the degree, because I mean, like, if you have that internship, that's likely a big bonus on your resume just going outside of college. Like, hey, I've already worked in this professional environment for however long the internship is. It usually depends on if it's over the summer or like during the semesters or whatever. Mm-hmm. But that's a very valuable thing, I would imagine. I haven't gone through that yet, but I would imagine it's probably pretty important.
It most likely will be pretty important.
I certainly hope it will be, at
learning
least.
Learning like actually like at the job is like very beneficial. It'll teach you like quite a lot in terms of like what you're gonna be doing, how you're gonna be doing it. I doubt I'll get paid, so also the realism of life too.
A little bit, yeah. Well, I think engineering is usually pretty well paying.
Pretty well paying, but it's an internship.
But it is an internship, so a lot of those are unpaid. So you're probably gonna be working in like the Kansas City area?
I'm gonna be trying to.
Okay.
I'm most likely not gonna be in, like Lee Summit. That's where I live at.
And right. Yeah.
Those are like some places, but I don't really. Some places I thought would be like good engineering places, but like as I learn more, not really like the most potential.
Not the most optimal areas.
Yeah.
For what you want to work, yeah, specifically. So, how has like general college life been for you throughout your schooling? Like general like campus stuff, like living on campus, food stuff. How's that generally been?
Mixed.
Very okay.
With the dorms, I've definitely had like a okay time in the dorms.
Okay.
First year in the dorms was fine. Had like a roommate. They were very friendly. Then eventually, in quotation marks, moved out to be like with their girlfriend whose roommate also like moved out somewhere else. So at some points I would also be like pretty lonely because I wasn't really in any clubs and didn't do a whole lot. So there were some points I just felt alone. And the food here, I wouldn't call it bad. It's like edible. It does its job. It gives protein and all that. But the variety is not the best.
Mm. I think they're actually putting out like surveys from specifically like Sodexo and stuff recently about like food stuff. So you may want to tune into that and like
if I ever get an email,
get that figured out. Because I feel like I think they send it out in like the UCM weeklies. That's why I've been seeing it at least. I don't think they've sent out a direct email for it, but it's been in those weekly emails. I feel like I saw it somewhere at one point.
I get those weekly emails often. Often, I'm pretty sure everyone gets them.
I mean,
them.
We all get okay. them. I don't think you can unsubscribe for them or anything. Yeah. So we all definitely get them.
They're true.
But if you
if I see it on there, then I'm going for it. Mm-hmm. You know, my complaints will be heard. I know it was in 2022 to 2023. I was in an apartment because my sister was going to have an apartment mm-hmm. with their partner. They broke up and
needed a roommate.
Yes, and so, I was like, you know, I'll go on in. I can mm-hmm. help out.
Mm-hmm.
When I first got to the apartment, I was very down because the place didn't really look good and was dirty and all that.
Yeah, that's the risk sometimes you have to take with, or that comes with apartments. Sometimes they just aren't great. I mean, like that's the risk that comes from any housing realistically, is that sometimes it's just like, oh well, it kind of sucks.
Mm-hmm.
So that's unfortunate.
I will say the positive of the apartment is I got to cook my own food.
Oh yeah,
I got to have anything that I could want and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lot of good meals there. Mm-hmm. I could bake my own fresh cinnamon rolls.
Oh yeah, that sounds good.
I love cinnamon rolls. Mm-hmm. They're the best.
Because yeah, the dorms don't have like any like kitchen features in them, do they?
They have sinks.
They have sinks, and that's basically
it.
You bring in
a microwave.
That's so weird to me how they don't have, like, any, like, I don't know what the word, like, appliances. Like, not even, like, an oven or anything. Not even, like, a stovetop or something like that. I feel like that would...
cost too much.
I guess,
also
yeah.
a lot of risk.
I mean, like, there's a lot of risk there, but... I feel like it would just be more. It would just be a better living experience for.
It also give like a lot of people like you know getting used to adulthood, getting used to like proper cooking and all.
I feel
that.
Like it would give people a better chance to do it while still being in like a relatively safer environment because the college is going to be looking after the buildings because it's their buildings.
I don't know how much they're looking after it because the bathroom I have barely flushes.
Dang.
Like, seriously, I press it, a bit goes down, I do it again, nothing.
Dang, well, that's...
Also, yeah, that I think yesterday the hot water was off for, like, 10 hours.
Oh, that sucks.
I had class, so it didn't really affect me.
That's good, but still, even still imagine, not, like, you have to go home to take a shower or something, and then it's just like, you can't, because the water's off.
I'm taller than the shower head.
Yeah, that's... That was definitely something I noticed when I was initially touring them, and that's kind of what, that was one of the things that made me decide, like, okay, I could probably just live at home, and I think I'll just commute, and I'll take the fact that
You're paying a lot for gas, but probably also saving a lot.
I mean, like, that was the other major reason, it's just, like, savings, is that, like, yeah, I'm paying, like, every week for gas, but that's still going to be way cheaper for me to just drive out there and then drive back rather than living on campus where I'm paying for the dorms, food, extra expenses that might come up with living on campus. Yeah. And then I would still be paying for gas occasionally because I would probably want to drive home and back and stuff. So
I normally drive home at least like once a month and at least like every other weekend. Of course, I'm going to be driving down for spring break because I don't want to be cooped up here.
I would imagine it would not be a fun time being cooped up here for spring break. Mm-hmm. It probably wouldn't be great. Unless you're in the crossing, maybe. Then it might be okay. Stay tuned for more after this break. Voices of UCM is sponsored by Rise Community Services.
That's the sound of a door slamming in your face. That's the sound heard by many individuals living with a disability. But it doesn't have to be. Rise Community Services is committed to opening doors, not closing them. We believe that each person deserves a life that is full of hope and empowered by self-choice. If you or a loved one need help, please visit watchusrise.org.
A degree in digital media production with an emphasis in sports communication will enhance your knowledge in multi-camera live sports productions, in addition to writing for sports media. Our faculty members bring real-world experience to the classroom, and students can showcase their work through different media outlets, including live streaming under the MIAA Network, UCMCTV, and DigitalBird.com. For more information on this, please visit ucmo.edu/DMP.
You're listening to Voices of UCM, sponsored by Rise Community Services. Today, we sat down with junior engineering technology major James Serber. We finish our talk by discussing James's love for Lego.
So let's go ahead and start talking about some Lego stuff. So yeah, you're obviously wanting to be like a Lego engineer, design, like specifically like a designer of sets.
Yeah. Okay.
Are those only located in Denmark? Is that the only place you can get a job like that? Or
from what I know, that's where a majority of it happens. I do know that there are like relocating like their American headquarters to somewhere different.
Okay.
It was happening in like 2022, 2023. They said they're like moving in. I used to remember what it was, but you know, I've been doing other stuff, so I forgot like the exact location. But I know that there is a location in America. I'm most likely gonna try and get to and do stuff there.
Because I would feel weird if they only like had like designers specifically in Denmark. Because Lego is a worldwide brand; it's sold literally everywhere, and like especially in America, it's
big.
It's huge.
It's big everywhere. So,
I would be surprised if they didn't have like locations in other countries that would allow for designers and stuff. And what I imagine what you might even be able to do is that like I keep seeing like shorts and like some TikToks and stuff of like people at like the Discovery Centers who are able to like build some stuff as well.
Yeah, I know. There's like those, like, master those builder types. I know what you're talking about. I've been to like Legoland Discovery Centers.
Not even just like the Discovery Center, but like Legoland in general. I've seen those.
Yeah, where they so make I wonder if the, you could like get miniature that. Models, brick badges, stuff like that.
All that stuff. So I would wonder if you might be able to get a job there as well.
Yeah, well, I know of like Legoland in the like, or I think Kansas City area. I've been there before. It's a good place.
I haven't been to any of the, like the Legolands specifically, but I just thought that might be an option as a potential thing.
Most likely as an option.
If you wanted to do that immediately.
True.
Assuming if you could get the job, obviously.
We'll see.
So what like initially kind of started your interest in Legos?
When I was a kid, my mom bought me and my sister our first Lego set. It was, I believe, the 2006 Clone Wars Anakin Jedi Starfighter. Came with like the Clone Wars Anakin R2. And of course, you know, I've had good memories with the, like, very specifically the, like, yellow and gray Jedi Starfighter ever since, because that's like the first Lego set I ever had. So it always comes to mind.
Holds that sentimental value.
Yeah. And ever since, you know, I've been getting, like, more and more Lego sets. I've been, like, trying to, like, you know, make my own stuff as well. But, you know, I've also been busy with other stuff, so.
Right, yeah.
Also trying, like, my hand in, like, drawing some stuff. You know, like, work on, like, minifigures, stickers, prints, stuff like that. So I can also have, like, a chance in that section as well.
Yeah.
Something I know that I also need to work on is, like, designing their, like, unique elements. Something like, be it like a hairpiece or like a taller brick.
Okay.
Because like, I know I've seen like prototypes of like working on elements like that. Normally done with like carving clay and stuff like that. Shape everything out, looking at like references of like animated characters and stuff like designing.
Like that interpretation, especially if you're working in like, if you were to specifically be working on like those licensed themes, you have to figure out how to adapt like a live action person to a Lego figure.
There's probably a lot of likenesses, what hair works best, the like torso, the legs. If you're working for Marvel, you don't actually have to focus much on the legs. I'd explain the joke, but I don't think most people are gonna get it.
I mean, like, you can probably explain it. Because, I mean, it's specifically, like, they don't put very much detail into, like, the leg printing, right?
for a lot of themes, they do put a lot of detail into the leg printing. For Star Wars, pretty much like every clone trooper, majority of the Jedi, very few don't have leg printing. Right. If you're in like Lego City, very few have leg printing, but like you're not really like getting those. Like the figures aren't like the biggest draw to those sets. Mm-hmm. For Marvel, of course, or for just superheroes in general, because this includes DC as well.
Right.
A lot of people, you know, care about those characters. People care a lot about like Iron Man and Batman.
Yeah.
And not often will they have leg printing, even if the like, you know, source that they come from definitely has a lot more detail. It's just like a very detailed torso and then just
and then
nothing.
Just, and then just a colored leg, like black legs. Yeah.
It can be like very distracting. Yeah. And the like official Lego designers have like been able to tell like people this is why it's this way, and you know, it's like unfortunate, but like I do understand like why it's like that. It is like a business, and you know, they gotta work on it, but
there's some limitations they have to do. But like when I get the frustration behind it when it's just like every other theme can seemingly get like higher quality on the printing but and like more detail, but superheroes can't. So I can imagine that's a bit upsetting
to people. The DC theme has specific like DC superheroes is almost entirely dead.
Yeah, and I haven't seen any of those sets on like store shelves or anything. Yeah.
There's been very few. Mm-hmm. Starting in like 2022, there was like a total of 5 sets throughout the whole year.
Yeah.
2021, there was like 6 sets. Mm-hmm. 2022, there was one, just Batman set. It was $10 and was terrible.
Dang.
I don't know how you can make something that cheap so bad, but they found a way.
They found a way, I guess, yeah.
2023, there was like 3 or 4, and this year has just started, and, you know, there's rumored four.
Ah, so an improvement. Barely, but an improvement, I guess.
From what I've heard, it's going to be based on Batman the Animated Series, so that's an improvement.
That's kind of cool, yeah. That's always cool getting slightly different variations of stuff like that.
Getting variations on like very iconic, you know, versions of the characters people have been wanting for a long time.
Mm-hmm. So why do you think you're still engaged with Lego specifically?
One moment.
Yep, go ahead. Take a sip.
I'd say it's probably the medium of, like, putting everything together. Like, it's always, like, a satisfying process of, like, putting all the bricks together and such. And there's, like, a bunch of different ways that you can, like, make different things. Mm-hmm. You're never, like, limited to one thing. And, of course, like, there's also a lot of, like, different franchises that I like, and, of course, getting some of the stuff that I enjoy physically in this, you know, cute little form that I can do so much with is always, you know, appealing. I can always, like, show it off to people and be like, some of these, like, cool things, like a whole mech that glows in the dark, or this really cool-looking wolf. And, well, yeah, it's just fun. Just lots of fun.
Do you think that's like kind of the general appeal of Lego in general, is just that like that building part? Because I've noticed over like the past like 10, well, not even the past 10, like past like 4 or 5 years, it seems like Lego is like exploding right now. Like in terms of popularity, in terms of like how many people are getting into it, because every time I'm in like I'm at like Oak Park Mall, they have like the Lego store there, and it's always packed, packed full of people.
I think it was like back in 2021 where that was like the first time I'd been at a Lego store where I was at a line that like went by like 3 other stores.
Yeah, they've started like limiting like how many people they let into like the Lego store at a time. I mean, like, yeah, it was during COVID then, but even still they still do that now. So it's interesting to see like that kind of explosion of interest.
Yeah. They, from what I no, Lego's been like working on like making their brand a lot bigger. They've especially like starting in 2020s, they started releasing sets for adults specifically, 18 plus.
So there's definitely a larger influx of those coming out.
Like, it's been coming like a lot bigger, and like just to gauge in a lot more interest in people. And of course, Lego still like focuses on like the kids and all that. And,
obviously,
you know, obviously, there's going to be more like sets for them than there are for adults. And of course, you don't have to like, you can be an adult and still like look at like, oh, yo, a cool like food truck. I want that. And it doesn't have to be under adults, but
well, yeah, obviously, because I think that's an appeal of Legos that it kind of is. You can just kind of do it at any point in your life. It doesn't really matter when you are. And I think
the maximum age gap is 99.
That's so true. That you can't do it over 99, but anywhere from like 3 to 99, you're all good. But that's one of the interesting things that I've noticed in general with like specifically like pop culture and toys in particular, is that like since like the early 2010s, it's been like more and more acceptable, if in society, if you will,
there's been more people like
to be able to talk about that in the open, I guess, if that makes sense, because like there's that
not
perception.
Feel as embarrassed.
Yeah, and I'm still kind of unsure of exactly why that is. I imagine it's probably due to like the internet and people sharing it more often on there because they could feel like they could share it on there. But
it's like, because if you're in like the 80s and such, like, and if you said, oh, I love video games so much, like, you, there's not going to be a lot of people who, like, you know, understand that medium, because, you know, it was like, even if there was like millions of copies sold, that wasn't like a big thing, because like it's millions of copies over like a bunch of areas in the world. Like, you know, as that's grown over time, a lot more people talk about it. It's become more of like an accepted thing.
Right. So you think it's like a similar thing that's happening with Lego right now, as it did to the video game industry?
I don't know if I'd call it just like more like the
maybe whole, not like just like, but just like vaguely similar.
Vaguely similar, okay. Yeah. Because I feel like other industries, like, you know, more adults buying stuff like plushies and all of that. Nothing wrong with a plush.
You know? Well, yeah, obviously not.
There's something wrong with a Funko Pop, but you know,
well,
that's a different topic.
That's a whole other argument. That's a bit out of the purview of this kind of interview.
Yeah.
I would have a lot of words to say about Funko Pops that I don't think I can say on here.
True.
Because I don't like Funko Pops very much. Let that be known. Put that on the record that I'm not a fan.
I'll write it down with the lack of a pencil I have.
Yeah. But yeah. So what is your like favorite Lego theme, if you had to pick one?
Ninjago. Easily. It's been that way ever since I was a kid. Pretty much as a kid. It's been with me for like a long time. I've pretty much been collecting like the whole time. So thankfully, like, if anybody's getting into it now, I'm sorry if you ever have to buy any of the older figures.
Yeah, good luck with that. I mean, good luck with buying anything over like 3 years old in Lego because of just pricing of how much sets go up after they're retired.
I have started buying some sets like when they're on sale, not when they're brand new. To like, you know, eventually sell. I'm gonna like, you know, stop doing that as much because I have like a back closet worth of stuff there.
But yeah, reselling is like a huge thing in Lego. That's like, I think that's another reason why toys and stuff has generally grown in popularity, is because like there's like a weird like speculative market around them, almost like with Lego, with like, and especially like trading cards and stuff.
Yeah,
it's weird seeing like how valuable some of these things
have become,
get especially because like it doesn't really make sense when you're looking at general like economic. I mean, like for like the super rare stuff, it makes sense why it's like,
like, if something's, like, very uncommon, like a Comic-Con exclusive Pokemon card, like, yeah, that's going to sell for something. But then like something that was in, like, stores everywhere, like, you know, Captain Rex. That's specifically Phase 2 Captain Rex. That's a figure that was released in, like, one set, a $30 set in 2013. If you want to buy that same figure, I think it's, like, $2,000.
On its own?
Just the figure.
That's crazy.
If you want the box sealed, it's even more.
Well, yeah, I imagine. But that's, again, like, for, like, specific rare stuff like that. But for, like, some sets, that were like very incredibly popular. They sold like very well. It's like for a box, for a box version, I get it. But for like, there's some like U sets that go for
a lot,
absurd amounts, even though they were like, they were wide release. They were like released everywhere. They released all parts of the world, but it's still like, oh, yep. It was 30 initially. Now it's 120 used. And it's like, where is that value coming from exactly?
Demand.
I mean, like, demand, yeah, but it still feels weird. It feels inflated, is what it does. It feels like an inflated value that isn't necessarily accurate. And that's another thing with another comparison between, like, Lego and video games is that, like, prices of video games are also
super
stupid high, even though there's millions of copies.
I can go to local GameStop. There's Wii Sports. It's $50.
Yeah, even though it's, like, the fifth best-selling game of all time. Yep. Like, millions upon millions of copies, and yet it's still $50 20 years after release, basically.
Mm-hmm.
It just... I mean, like, supply and demand, I get that, but, like, prices just seem...
Supply and demand's a thing, but there's also, crazy. At the same time, it even if it's reasonable, it doesn't stop the fact that it's crazy.
It does not stop the fact
that it's
crazy.
That's kind of contradictory, but...
I mean, like, it is, but... That's just the nature of reselling stuff, I guess. Mm-hmm. It's a crazy market out there. Well, we'll go and finish up with one last question. Any other like specific hobbies outside of Lego?
Video gaming. Got. I'm just a Nintendo person, right? I got like Nintendo consoles since like the Wii. I have played Mario Sunshine, the actual GameCube game.
Have you like played? You played on original hardware.
I played it on the Wii.
Okay, so basically original hardware.
Like, I own... my sister owns Mario Sunshine. Mm. It was during, like, a Christmas. Okay. They got Mario Sunshine. I got Sonic Adventure 2 GameCube.
That's not bad.
It was, I think, 2022 when I was looking at the case, and I realized this is a PlayStation 2 case.
But I have a GameCube copy?
It has a GameCube copy and cover art.
It's a PS2 case.
Yes.
I guess it's used, but...
I know it's used. It said it on the box.
Oh, okay.
The Mario Sunshine copy was used as well. Still, that one was like the actual GameCube case. The other one wasn't. I've always found that funny.
Yeah, that's pretty humorous, yeah. All right. Well, that's a perfectly fine place to end off. I think I appreciate you coming on.
No problem.
Yeah, and then we'll see you guys next time on Voices of UCM.
Stay safe.
This has been Voices of UCM, sponsored by Rise Community Services. Be sure to tune in next week at 7 p.m. on both Wednesday and Saturday. You can listen to the show at ucmbeat.com on either the live feed or at any time by going to the Shows tab and finding the Voices of UCM tab. Once again, I'm your host, Andrew Zellner, and we'll talk next time on Voices of UCM.